We're enjoying these last days of summer. Many of us are looking for the perfect book to read. We still have vacation planned, or we just want to get one more in before we go back to the humdrumness of our fall lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so many examples of perfection are found at an independent bookstore near you. This morning, Emily Crow joins us to present a fine list of books that will have you using this lovely light, eclipse or not, and to read some great stuff and become engrossed in. Emily is from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, and a great pleasure to welcome her to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Good morning, and thanks for having me here.
Excellent. So, where would you like to begin?
Well, I just want to maybe mention that I generally put thought into the books that I talk about here when I come to WAMC, because I want to talk about books that I love and I want other people to love too. But in light of what's been happening in our country, I've maybe put a little bit more care than usual, and you're going to find me using the words timely and important to describe a lot of these novels.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. I'm going to start with Alexandra Fuller and her first novel called Quiet Until the Thaw. It just came out last month.
I love this book. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Me too. Fuller isn't exactly what I would call a household name, but when you hear the titles of her previous memoirs, you might get a spark of recognition. She wrote the books Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight and Cocktail Hour Under the Tree of Forgetfulness. Both good titles. And she grew up in what was then Rhodesia and is now Zimbabwe, and she had one heck of a complicated childhood. I wasn't sure what to expect from her first novel, which explores three generations of a Native American family, and I was even a little bit nervous because cultural appropriation has been a really big hot-button topic in the book world today. But this book is really, really well drawn and told with tremendous sensitivity and also sympathy. The novel starts with the story of two boys who are cousins, Rick Overlooking Horse and You Choose Watson, and they're raised by their grandmother and grow up as brothers. Though they are bound by blood, they find themselves constantly at odds with each other. Fuller unwinds the story of ongoing poverty and oppressed history and suffering across generations of the Lakota people in South Dakota. And again, it really just couldn't be a more timely story. I really want to mention the event that we hosted with Alexandra last month. This book was our first Editions Club selection, and she gave one of the best and most provocative author talks I've heard in my two decades of bookselling. She got to the podium, and her opening line was something like, "Hi, I'm Alexandra, and I'm a recovering white supremacist."
Mm-hmm.
And she gave such an open and honest and thoughtful talk that I think everybody who was there came away changed, a very changed person, certainly thinking more about their own past and how they may have contributed.
Alexandra Fuller's new novel is Quiet Until the Thaw. Next.
Okay, next is Home Fire by Kamala Shamsi. She is a great writer on the international stage. She has both UK and Pakistani citizenship, and probably is better known outside the US than inside, but she also has strong ties to Western Massachusetts. She lived in the Northampton area while she was getting her MFA at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. And in fact, there are lots of bits in the opening chapters where readers will immediately recognize the landscape and the neighborhoods that she's describing. Which, is, of course, is always fun when you're familiar with them, too. The novel is the story of two families living in England. In one family, we have Isma, who is the dependable older sister, and she finally feels like her younger siblings are old enough for her to pursue her dreams of graduate school in America. Anika and Parvaiz are the twins she was both mother and sister to. They stay behind in London to follow their own pursuits. Anika is feisty and outrageous, and she is studying to become a barrister, while Parvaiz becomes enmeshed with a jihadist who seduces Parvaiz to his cause with stories of his father as a freedom fighter. All three of the children grew up without their father. In the other family, we have Amon, who is the son of the British Home Secretary, and he becomes friends with Yzma when they meet in the U.S., but then he delivers a package to her sister back in the U.K., and he ends up falling in love with her sister. Amon keeps his relationship with Anika a secret for as long as he can, knowing what the political fallout would be if the media were to learn that the Home Secretary's son was involved with a woman whose family has those kinds of ties. And ultimately, this is a novel that makes the reader ask questions of themselves, like where do we draw our lines in the sand, and how do we make choices when love and loyalty are pitted against each other, and what would we sacrifice for our family in the name of love? I didn't realize until after the book that Shamsi used the Greek tragedy of Antigone as the framework for telling her story. But in retrospect, I was able to see how those pieces fit together. You definitely don't have to know Antigone to appreciate the book. But if you know that particular play, then you'll know that the last 50 pages are going to be building very, very intensely. The writing here is so good that it will break your heart, and I wasn't at all surprised to learn that she's been long listed for the Booker Prize. It also happened to be our August selection for our signed First Editions Club.
Terrific. And the name of the book?
Home Fire by Kamala Shamsi.
By Kamala Shamsi. Excellent. Next up.
Okay. Next is Sing, Unburied Sing by Jesmyn Ward. Kind of felt like old home week. She is writing about South Mississippi, which is where I grew up. And although the book doesn't technically come out until the first week of September, I've been smitten with it since February, which is when I read my advanced reading copy. And yes, this one is also both timely and important. It's her first novel since the National Book Award book for Salvage the Bones, and I think this one is even better. My coworkers and I have been joking around that she better be clearing out some more space on her mantle come award season, because this one is probably going to be the book to beat. It's the story of a biracial boy named Jojo, and he lives in South Mississippi with his mom, his baby sister, and his grandparents. Life is not great, but it's also not terrible for Jojo. You know, things are tough, but he's got a grandfather who loves him and is trying to show him how to become a man. His grandmother, on the other hand, is dying of cancer, and his mother, Leonie, is unfortunately an addict with a fairly tragic past. And when Jojo's white father gets paroled from the state pen, Leonie drags both of her children on a very dangerous road trip to bring him home. There are issues of race and death and extremely messy family dynamics. And it's sobering to read in many ways, but the writing is also just luminous. But what I think really makes this book shine is the author's overwhelming empathy for her characters. There are ghosts in this landscape, both real and metaphorical, but like Faulkner, Jesmyn knows that the past is not dead, it's not even past, and she shows how this is a very ghost-haunted landscape for this particular family. I read this book not long after watching the documentary 13, and while I was reading that movie was really echoing through every passage that I read. And Ward really punches home the cultural chasm of the generations of missing men through mass incarceration. She's telling stories of wives without husbands and mothers without sons and sons without fathers. And I just couldn't think of a more powerful novel that's coming out this fall. It's amazing and thought-provoking for any reader of literary fiction.
Jesmyn Ward, Sing, Unburied, Sing.
Okay, so we can move on to a couple of slightly lighter things. One of them is called Less by Andrew Sean Greer, and it's the perfect novel for readers looking for something with a little bit of levity. Arthur Less is the star of the book, and he is a mid-list novelist about to turn 50. And a mid-list novelist is someone who probably has several novels under their belt. They've never cracked the bestseller list. Mm-hmm. They get decent reviews, but they're not exactly household names. So Arthur's longtime casual boyfriend has decided to marry another man, and he's been invited to the wedding. But he's got this dilemma. He can't just say no, because the gossips would call him a coward, and he obviously can't attend because that would be awkward too. So obviously his only solution is to gather up all of the random invitations he's received from around the world to participate in occasionally dubious literary festivals, and because being out of the country is the perfect reason for not attending your ex-boyfriend's wedding.
Check.
Yes. So on the surface, this novel would seem to be a bit like a travelogue. He goes from his home in San Francisco, and he covers almost every continent. He goes to Mexico, he does Germany and Italy, travels to India and Morocco too. And his adventures in each country range from the ridiculous to the sublime. And he has all kinds of bizarre situations that unfold. And as he passes through each country, he is reflecting on his life and his past loves and his novels and what it is to face turning 50. And this is a book that is both funny and bittersweet. And it's really full of insight about time and age, but also the importance of not living in the past at the expense of your future. But you shouldn't just take my word for it. America's most famous bookseller, Ann Patchett, who happens to moonlight as a best-selling author, is the person who recommended this book. And she has a really great blog post up about it on her website that you can check out. And it's just a good book if you're looking for something lighter, but not necessarily purely escapist.
And it's called Less.
Less.
By Andrew Sean,
Andrew Sean Greer.
Yep. Excellent.
Okay, next is a book that actually goes on sale today. It is Young Jane Young by Gabrielle Zevin, and it is brand new by the author who wrote The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, which was charming and sweet and life-affirming from a few years ago. Did you read that one?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Okay. Well, this one is smart and entertaining, and it's about a young woman named Aviva Grossman. And she is a smart and ambitious political science student, and she becomes an intern for a progressive congressman. And she soon finds herself caught up in an affair with this married politician. And when the affair makes it into the regional media, Congressman Levin experiences a little bit of negative press, you know, a few rebukes, but then he goes on to enjoy a lifetime in office. His marriage survives the scandal, of course. Aviva, on the other hand, has her life completely ruined. And even though she is skilled and qualified, no one will hire her. No one wants to date her. I mean, how dare she go after a married man? Who wants to hire someone so morally compromised? Her only option is to start over somewhere completely new with a new name and a new life. And obviously, it is heavily inspired by the Lewinsky scandal, and Zevin exposes the misogyny and the double standards that exist in politics, in sex scandals, and, of course, many other areas of life. Aviva is herself, in many ways, Lewinsky imagined in a very different way, not as a seductress, but as a foolish young woman who's dazzled by a powerful older man. She's also showcased as someone's daughter, a student with a love of politics, and then later as a mother of a young girl herself. And then beyond that, it's also a really good feminist story. The author divides the perspectives up among various women, including Aviva and her mother and Aviva's daughter, but also the woman who was the congressman's wife. And all of these women are beautifully drawn. They're complicated and complex and flawed. And that, as much as anything, is what makes this book a really wonderful read. And it's a great takedown of the slut shaming that is so prevalent, not just in politics, but in general.
It is Young Jane Young by Gabrielle Zevin. We're out of time, I think.
Okay. Well, until next time, then.
Okay. But you can see the whole list online.
Yes,
if you
can.
If you go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, go to odysseybks.com. The list is there as well. Hey, why don't you just go visit them? They're in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Odysseybks.com. Emily Crowe, a great pleasure to have you on our program as always. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.